Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Look at Acts 27 and verse 21. In Acts 27, 21, it says, "But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and to not loose from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they'd gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, we cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now pay attention to that. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. In other words, don't jump out. There's a time to jump, but it wasn't now. There's a time that you might, something might happen that you have to. Paul said, don't do it now. If you do it now, jumping out way too early. Stay with the boat. And so he's warning them, and they was going to kill any of them that jumped out like that. They're going to kill them. But they're in the midst of a horrible storm. Now, I'm going to preach to you tonight on these things, what you should not do when the storms come. This evening, I saw on the news where down our way, there's calling for tornadoes. It's calling for storms, a hail. Talked to one brother back here a while ago, said they got some hail down his house seat. But there's calling for storms. I've been out west, Brother Barker, like you have preaching before, and I was in Wichita, Kansas, preaching. Flew into Wichita. Preacher, we're driving up this road, and on this side of the road over here, there's nothing but pipes sticking up out of the ground. Green grass and pipes everywhere, and on this side is houses everywhere. We're going down the road, and I said, Preacher, I said, they didn't build nothing over here. I said, what's all them pipes sticking up? He said, tornadoes come through here. And it went through here, and it went down that side of the street and took everything down through there out. Them pipes are where houses used to be. Over here, it didn't touch this side of the street. Now, let me tell you something. The day's coming, sister, and it might be now, but the day's coming when there's a storm coming down your side of the street. It's coming down your side. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you might be young and healthy. You may be got a good job, making good money. Everything's going good. Family's all healthy, everybody's saved in church, and everything's going good. But let me tell you something, the day will come when a storm will come. There was a day when it come down Job's side of the street. And when it comes, there's not a thing you can do to stop it. So you better know what to do when they come. And then you better know what not to do. You know, it's as important that you know what you shouldn't do is what you should do. You know, I get on an airplane. I'll get on one Monday, early morning, like 6 o'clock, and I'll fly to, Dallas, Texas, and change planes and go into Durango, New Mexico, or Durango, Colorado, rather, and then drive over into Mexico, New Mexico, and preach. But when you get on that plane, I can already tell you what that woman's going to say. Good to have you on American Airlines Flight 5431 to Dallas-Fort Worth. Make sure that your luggage is overhead stowed. I call it stored. She calls it stowed. But And then she said, or overhead in a locked compartment or under your seat. Buckle your seat belts. And then they'll show you how to buckle it and unbuckle it. Then they'll say, in case of a loss of power, the aisle is lighted. Then in case of a loss of oxygen, the oxygen mask will drop down. Put yours on first, and then help the person beside you. And I'm telling you exactly what she's going to say. You say, why? I've heard her tell it 10,000 times. Then your seat cushion is a flotation device. Pull it out in case that we get in water. Pull it out of the seat, and lock your arms in the back of it for a flotation device. Now, I don't believe none of that's going to do you no good. But it sure makes you feel better when she's telling you all that. Amen? Hey, if you hit the ground running 300 miles an hour, it don't matter what you got on. It ain't good, brother. I'm just telling you, it ain't going to be good. Even water, it ain't going to be good. Amen? And so I don't know all that, but I still, if I'm reading my Bible, whatever, when she tells it, I still listen to it. Out of respect, I put my Bible down and I look straight up at them, and I've heard it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. No smoking in the bathroom. They call it lavatory. I call it the bathroom. And then they say the cabin door is now closed. They don't know what a cabin is, Brother Barker. I think about a cabin's down here, amen, on the side of a mountain somewhere made out of logs. But they call it the cabin door's now been closed. And turn your phone off and any large electronic devices. Put your tray table up and your seat forward, seat belts buckled, and we're going to have a good flight. I said, sure hope so. Amen? But that's what they tell you. Now, that's in case, and they'll tell you sometimes, we're going to get up in there, the pilot will come on, then he'll come on and say, folks, thank you for being with us today. We're going to have a flight to Dallas-Fort Worth. And when we get up, it's going to be a little bit of rough air. But don't pay any attention to it. I'm going to try to take us up a little bit higher. We'll get out of it. Let me tell you something, old brother. There's some storms you can't get up and get out of it. You're in it. Such was the case with Paul. Paul was he was a prisoner getting ready to be transported to Rome to stand trial before. Remember, he'd went before Festus and Felix and Agrippa, and now they're getting ready. He appealed to all them courts, and now they're sending him to Rome to stand before the Caesar to be tried. Now, Paul told them before they left, he said, now we don't need to take this journey. The time ain't right to be sailing. Now, Paul didn't know a lot probably about sailing, but he knew the weatherman real good. Amen? He knew the one that was in control of things real good. And he tried to tell them, but they sailed. Now, I'm going to pray and preach to you on what not to do when the storms come. Father, help me now to help Amazing Grace Baptist Church, our visitors. Thank you for my preacher friends. Thank you for the good choir tonight. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for the Spirit of God that's in this room tonight. Now, may you help somebody. I don't even know, Lord, who I'm preaching to. I don't know if there's a human being in this building going through a storm, but I do know this, that if life goes on, that, Lord, some of them sitting here now will be, and maybe me. Maybe I'm preaching to me. I don't know. But somebody's going to be in a storm. Please help them to take this down in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to give you some things that they did. Look back, if you would, with me in verse number 9. I didn't read it, but in this same chapter, it said, now when much time was spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them and said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Let me say this right here. When the storms come, don't bind the preacher. Don't bind the preacher when the storms come. Now, I mean by that, you let your preacher help you through them storms. Did you know that, Brother Barker, this storm right here was really unnecessary? All they would have had to done to got out of this storm, Brother Jonathan, all they had done to got out of this was listen to Paul. That's all they had to do. Just listen to the Apostle Paul. He said, fellas, we ought not leave here right now. This, I perceive this voyage is going to be with much hurt and danger. And we need to just leave this boat docked right here. But you know what they did? They believed the centurion, believed the owner of the ship more than what he believed the preacher. You know what they did? They binded the preacher. Can I tell you this tonight? That a lot of storms you could avoid if you would go and talk to your pastor first and let him navigate you and tell you if it's time to move or time to set still. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't tell you how many times that I've stayed out of a storm because I listened to somebody that knew more. Now, you might know more about your work than he knows. You may know more about running a bulldozer than he knows, or electrical work, or a carpenter work. You may know more. You might know more about anything than he knows about that. But let me tell you something. But the man of God is the man of God. And there's things that he'll see. Do you know what the word bishop means? It means overseer, and that means to oversee it, like you'd oversee a job site or something, to orchestrate it and oversee it. But it also means this. It means to see over. Now, it means this. God will give your preacher some insight on some things you ain't got. You remember when Saul was right and his dad sent him out to get them donkeys that got lost, his donkeys got lost? And they wandered around up there 2 or 3 days looking for him. And then Saul said, there is in this city a man of God, listen to this, who can show us the way we ought to go. Remember that? And when they went down to see Samuel said, them donkeys have been home for 3 days. Stand still that I may show you the word of God for a while. See? What it was, he said, there is in this city a man of God who can show us the way we ought to go. Now, I'm not saying your preacher's God, but I'm saying that God gave you a church and a pastor to let him help you. That's a luxury. That's a luxury. Hey, but when Saul got crossways with God, he went to see a witch. See, when you get stubborn and rebellious and you don't want to know truth, then he went to see a witch. Well, it was too late. So here's what I'm trying to tell you is don't bind the preacher. Listen to what he tells you. I got a girl in my church right now that's married and got 2 kids and 1 on the way that was in our high school. Years ago, we got a little Christian school. She was in our high school, a good girl that Brother Morgan led her to Christ. I don't think she's here tonight, but her name's Crystal. And Crystal was in our high school. She was a senior. And she went to work in our town at a Burger King. She was working at Burger King. She got to working with some people, and I noticed a change in her. She got to working with some people that was wicked as a devil, and they was ruining her. And the teacher one day said to me, the principal said, "Preacher, you probably need to talk to her." She said, "I'm afraid them people up there is going to ruin her." I said, "Send her in here." And they sent her in the office, and she come in and sat down, and I said, "Well, how's it going?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, how's it going up there where you work?" I said, "That a good bunch of people you're working with up there?" She said, "Well, yeah, they're all right." And I said, "They're about to ruin you." And I said, "You need to quit. You need to get out from up there. You need to get out from up there and quit that job." She said, "I don't know how to quit." I said, "Let me show you." And I got the phone, and I said, "Put me through to Burger King at Moxville." And they put me through up there, and I said, "Can I speak to the manager?" Manager got on the phone. I said, "This is Pastor Darrell Cox down here at Trinity Baptist Church, and we got a kid in our school that's working for you. And, sir, I'm sorry to inform you, she won't be back. And I'm sorry, but she can't come back." And I hung the phone up. I said, "Crystal, you're officially fired." She started crying. She said, "Preacher, what am I going to do?" I said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're trying to save your life." Hey, listen to this. She finished school, went on to Howells Anderson College and met a boy up there, married that boy, and later came back to our church, and her and her husband and two little kids is in our church right now, and it ain't been long, she come up to me and said, "I want to thank you, preacher, for helping me when I didn't have enough sense to help myself. You saved my life." She said, "I don't know where I'd be if I would have continued on." Now, you may think that ought not happen, but what I'm trying to tell you, I didn't care about Burger King. I cared about that girl's life being ruined. Are you following me? Hey, don't bind the preacher. Number two, don't battle the wind. Look at verses 13 through 15. Look at verses 13 through 15. Don't battle the wind is the next thing. Look at verse 13. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they'd obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." Look at here, but look at verse number 14. "But not long after, there arose against it a tempest wind called Euroclydon." Hey, look up here a minute. When you hang a name on a storm, you better be getting under something. Hey, when they name one Judy, or they name one Ethel, or they name one Bob or Bill or something, hey, you might ought to take that serious. This one's name was Euroclydon. That even sounds bad to me, don't you? And Brother Barker, Paul said, "Boys, that south wind ain't much, but I'm going to tell you something, that Euroclydon is on the way." And let me tell you something, friend, you can't battle the wind. Now, when it come, they tried. Look at verse 15. "And when the ship was caught," look at this, "and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Let me tell you what that means. They turned the stern wheel loose. That means, they said, "Boys, get down below. There's nothing you can do. Let it go where it's going to go." And when, look at it, verse 15, "And when the ship was caught up and could not bear into the wind, we let her drive." That meant the wind's going to take it where it will. Now let me tell you something. Let the wind be your friend. Let the wind be your friend. God, the Spirit of God's like the wind. John chapter 3. And I ain't gonna belabor you all night telling you, but what I'm saying, let me tell you what happened to me. Preacher, you'll get in situations pastoring a church that there's not a Bible college that's ever been manufactured that will teach you what to do in that situation. Let me tell you what I had happen. I had a car wreck. Three of our girls, I was in West Virginia preaching, and three of my church girls was out here on Interstate 40 coming from Greensboro back towards Mocksville. And the traffic was stopped in road work, and a drunk driver running 70 miles an hour didn't even hit the brakes. He was running 70, 75 miles an hour, didn't even hit the brakes, and run into the back of the car they was in. The doors jammed and burned all of them up. Now, I come home that night because I was preaching a meeting in West Virginia. And that night, I told that preacher, I said, "I'll be back tomorrow night, but I feel like I need to go home tonight." I got home at night at midnight, got in bed about 1 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock, my phone was ringing. And it was that family. They said, "Preacher, we need you to come up to Mama's, up to the grandma, and go in and tell grandma," she just had open heart surgery, just had come home from the hospital, "we need you to meet up here, and you go in and tell her what's happened." I said, "Man, if you ain't careful, you'll kill her." I said, "The only way I'll go in and tell her, you get an ambulance backed up to the door and have EMT standing there." I said, "She may die." Sure enough, they got an ambulance there, had the back door of it open, everything. I walked in the house with her son, flipped the light on, walked and pecked on the bedroom door, and she sat up in the bed and said, who is it?" And we walked in, and I sat on the side of the bed and said, "Dot, I hate to tell you this, but Megan and Misty and Tara's been killed tonight." She just fell backwards and began to scream. They come in and got her. They said, "Now you got to go to Davie Hospital. The mother and dad's over there and the other set of grandparents, and go over yonder." I went over there. Listen, it was you never been anything like that in your life. I mean, I never been in anything. Then I had to go from there to Forsyth Hospital because they thought that woman there that was in the house was going to die. It was an all-day deal. And then I drove back and preached that night, then drove back. And it was just unreal. Well, I'm trying to figure out, I got all three of them funerals now. What do you preach when a man like Job has lost every child they had, all of them? Three girls. Preacher, you got three girls. Can you imagine if you got a phone call and they said they're all gone? You just think. You can't even comprehend that. I said, "Well, and now I got to get up and comfort you." And Brother Barker, I'm going to tell you, I looked at every outline. I thought of everything. I prayed. I done everything I know to do. It seemed like nothing. My head was just splitting for days. I mean, just, and I was having preachers call me from all over saying, Brother Cox, I wouldn't even know what to tell you. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. They knew about it. And I thought, what am I going to do? So I went over to the house, to their house. Got over there to the house. A day before the funeral, and that's a day before the funeral, I still ain't got nothing. Walked over there, and the mother come out of in the living room and said, Preacher, can I put their Bibles up there and display all three of them's Bibles? I said, sure, it'd be a good idea. She said, well, and she went and got them, and she walked out with those Bibles, had them all stacked, and she said, right here, It was a little blue Schofield. She said, this was Megan's. And when she went to hand it to me, Megan was the 17-year-old. She said, here's Megan's Bible. I led Megan to Christ in Baptist Hospital. The oldest one, Tara, had a heart transplant. She'd had a heart transplant. And I led Tara to Christ. I led Megan to Christ and Misty. Led all of them to the Lord. And anyhow, when she went to hand me that Bible, she almost dropped it, and out of that Bible tumbled a bookmarker. And that bookmarker was one of our church bookmarkers we give away with a Bible schedule on one side and the other side's blank. And I looked on it when I got ready to pick that bookmarker up, and it had a smiley face on it, drawn, and John 14:1-6, and said, how to be cured from a troubled heart. Okay, and it said Pastor Cox, June something, like 7 or 8 years before that, when her sister had that heart transplant. I picked that up and I looked, and as clear as I'm talking to you right now, the Spirit of God said, hey, preacher, here's your message. And that girl who got killed had wrote my outline down, and I said, can I borrow this? She said, yeah. I said, God, just give me a message. It was my message. And I got up, and there was hundreds and hundreds of people there. The outside of our church was full. The parking lot was full. The other building was full. There's people standing across 601. I mean, it was unreal. People from NASCAR. That one girl's husband worked for Martin's race team. I mean, there was people there, television cameras. It was unreal. And I got up and preached on. And I said, this message is the notes from what Megan wrote down. And I'm going to give it to him. Buddy, it got quiet in there. It got quiet. And I said, John 14:6, I said, a cure for a troubled heart's in a place. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, many mansions. She said, there's a cure for a troubled heart in a place. I said, she's in that place. And I said, I hope you're going to that place. Then I said, there's a cure for a troubled heart in a person. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I said, then there's a cure for a troubled heart in a promise. He said, if I go, I will come again. I said, he's coming one day. Then I said, there's a cure for a troubled heart in a plan. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I said, if you're here today, we had 75 people got saved in that. Many of them, let me tell you what happened, though, the week before. Now listen to this. Listen real good to this part. That girl come forward the Sunday before she got killed. She walked right. She's sitting about where Brother Barker is. Got up when I preached, give the invitation. She walked right over there and knelt down on that corner and knelt and prayed. And coming out the door that day, she said, Preacher, my heart's broke. Tears was running down her face. She said, my family, there's almost none of them in church. Many of them ain't saved. And I prayed today, God, whatever it takes, get them, save them. Would you pray with me? I said, I will. And I turned and seen her walking up the walk and got in her car, drove off by herself. That was on Sunday. On Wednesday, we was planning her funeral. 26 of the people that got saved was her family. The next Sunday, one of her best friends the next week, who got saved in that service. The next week, Her car flipped over and she died. It was her one of the best friends she had. Crazy. You say, what is it? Don't battle to win. See, I was trying to find a sermon. God done had that sermon that was in that laying on that bookmark. Yes, all I had to do was just get under there and not let the wind get me. Let the wind be my friend. So, number one, I'm trying to hurry. Number one, don't bind the preacher. Number two, don't battle the wind. Number three, don't blame God. Hey, you know what Paul said verse 21 through 25? Listen to it here. But after a long abstinence, Paul was abstinent. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Remember I told you don't bind the preacher? You ought to listen. He said, and not to have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, look at this, and now I exhort you, be a good cheer. You know what he said? Cheer up! Cheer up! Hey, he goes on down through there and says, cheer up, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You know what? Folks, he said, hey, boys, don't blame God. You just should have done a bound to preacher. You bound to preacher. That's why we're here. And don't battle that wind. You can't do nothing with the wind. He said, but the next thing, be of good cheer. He said, for I believe God. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to believe God or blame God? You're going to do one or the other. Well, God did this. Listen, if you blame God, you'll get bitter on God. You get bitter, let me tell you what happens. Bitter, sister, bitterness is a root problem. If you ever read Hebrews 12, it talks about the roots of bitterness. Roots has got to have dirt to grow in. And when them roots get sunk up in a life of people that's bitter, here's what happens. Roots extend, and what happens is, it talks about there in Hebrews 12, I ain't got time to read it all, but it talks about it defiling others. See, the bitterness goes from you to 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 you. And everybody it touches then gets bitter. But, I tell you something else, praising God is contagious too. See, if you just say, well, folks, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord, and though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And if you say, hey, God's good anyhow, and we're just going to keep on shouting the victory. So, don't blame God. Then let me give you something else. I'm hurrying. Don't bother with little things. They don't matter. Look at verse 17 through 19. Verse 17 says, and when they'd taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, then fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands and strike sail, and were so driven. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, look at this, they lightened the ship. You see that? And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. You know what they was doing? They was throwing things overboard, trying to save the ship to lighten it up. But you know what? That wasn't going to help. Because if you read the end of this story, there ain't no ship. It tears it all to pieces. So they were bothering with little things. Paul got into big things. He was somewhere by himself, and he heard from heaven. He got a hold of God, and God said, Paul, be of good cheer. He said, tell them be of good cheer. He said, there's nobody on this boat going to lose a hair out of their head. There ain't one thing going to happen. You said, is that in there? Sure is. Yeah. Look at there at verse 22. And now I exhort you, he's talking to Paul, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Ain't nobody going to die. Ain't nobody going to die. Paul's heart, why do you think Paul could come up on the deck and smile and say, hey, boys, cheer up. Everything's all right. I just heard from heaven, and it's all right now. That's what he was doing. But they were busy, too busy to pray. They were throwing boxes overboard, thinking, well, if we get rid of this weight right here, hey, I'd have blessed God, I'd have been worried about him throwing them boxes. We might be out here a while. Hey, if I seen somebody getting a hold of a box of Little Debbie cakes, getting ready to throw them over, I'd grab a hold of them and say, hey. Hey, man, don't you throw them Little Debbie cakes overboard. Me and you'll fight right here on the deck. Don't you throw them Coca-Colas overboard. Leave them on here. Hey, and if they'd have known what Paul knew, they'd have calmed down and eat Little Debbie cake and drunk a Coke, wouldn't it? But you see, here's what happens. When you get in a storm, here's what happens. Here's exactly what happens. I ain't got no phone on me. I was using my billfold. Hey, y'all pray. I don't know what to do. Da 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 da. And then after you hang up from that person, hey, won't you throw that backslid phone down and go somewhere and get alone with God and say, oh God, Lord, help me. Be like old Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat rather, fall on your face and say, Lord, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I don't know what to do, but God, I'm trusting you. Amen? I'm trusting you. Now, I'm simply saying, don't blame God. Don't bother with little things. They don't matter. I don't care who you call. They can't help you. You know what they'll say when it's all done? You've talked to them an hour. Here's what they'll say. Well, brother, we'll pray. Well, that's what you ought to have been doing. Hey, just send out one group text. Please pray. And then let that be the end of it. Just please pray. Call somebody and say, hey, would you just send text out and tell people to pray? And then you go to pray. Because prayer is what made the difference. Paul prayed. Now let me say this right here. So don't bother with little things. Don't blame God. Don't battle the wind. Don't bind the preacher. And then don't get bitter. I done touched that, so I ain't going to get on it. But verse 22, don't get bitter. Hey, I had a sister who got cancer. My wife will tell you, she's one of the sweetest people you ever met in your life. She had cancer. They told her she had 6 months to live. 6 months. Four doctors set her down, said, you got the worst kind of cancer. You're going to live 6 months. She said, I got a little boy to raise. And she said, I'm not going to die till he gets in his teen years. That was 7 years away. They said, Lisa, we wish that was true, but if you do, you'll be the first. It's never happened. She said, well, it's going to happen now. I refuse. She said, I've asked God to let me live. And brother, listen, she lived 6 months. She lived a year. She lived 2 years. She lived three. Now, she had brain surgeries, went to her brain. I think she had three brain operations, took out of her lymph glands. Chemo every Monday for 7 years. Radiation, burn her up. But when that boy had his 13th birthday, she went to heaven. She lived 7 years. Never got bitter. Every Monday when she'd go to go take chemo, you know what she'd do? She'd take a bunch of gospel tracts, go to the cancer center with a smile on her face, all of her hair gone, eyelashes come out, eyebrows come out, fingernails fell off, toenails come off. She'd walk in that cancer center and introduce herself to somebody that had just got cancer. She says, my name's Lisa Lilly, and I just want to tell you, I got cancer too, but there's an answer. Christ is the answer. Best thing ever happened to me. And she'd go around that room witnessing. She done that the whole time till she went to heaven. But she never did get bitter, never did say, well, God, why are you doing this to me? Never did. I'm going to tell you, you can go through storms and not get bitter, but if you ain't careful, you can get bitter. Don't get bitter. Hey, let me give you this right here. Don't banish soul winning opportunities. Look at verses 37. I'm about through here. If you give me just another minute or two, I'll be through. Verse 37 said, and we were in all the ship, 216 souls. Do you see that? And we were in all the ship, 216 souls. If you break that down, you know what that is? That's 276 people. How many of you think got to the shore? 276, like God told him they would. But notice what Paul called them. Look at verse number 37 again. And we were in all the ship, 216 what? He didn't even look at them as men. He's looking at their soul. Paul didn't want to look for them to jump overboard and die because he wanted a chance to tell them. See, don't banish soul-winning opportunities. I haven't done it since COVID, but this is used to Thursday nights, get in the wintertime, get dark early. My wife knows what I'm telling is the honest truth. I'd go to the emergency room. Soul winning. Just go to the emergency room, Brother Barker, and go in where people sat and waited to be seen. I'd walk in there and just sit down and get me a seat and get me a newspaper. Just open that newspaper and just sat there and look at it till somebody sat down beside me. I said, "How you doing?" They said, "I'm doing all right." I said, "You got somebody back there being seen?" He said, "My wife." He said, "You think maybe she's having a heart attack?" I said, "Oh, man, that ain't good." "No, it ain't good." I said, "Well, look." I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher. Look here." And I'd reach right in here and get me a tract. I said, "Listen, what's your wife's name?" "Her name's Betty." I said, "Is it all right if I pray for Betty?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes something like this can be used of God to bring you to God. I've won I don't know how many people to Christ just going in. I didn't have to check in, nothing. I just went and sat down. That's hard to do that now. Because you say, well, why do you do that? Because it's dark out there, and I ain't going to go up on the porch and get bit with a dog. I get in there where there's some light where I can talk to them. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it'll work. But I'm telling you, when you catch a man in a storm, it's easy to talk. You think these men would have been hard to talk to after they paddled on boards and stuff to that shore? I wonder if Paul would have said, "Hey, buddy, you believe there's a God now?" He said, "You better believe there's a God. Well, let me show you what Romans says right here. Hey, let me show you something. Let me show you what Romans says. Don't banish soul winning opportunities. Use storms to get people saved." Oh, yeah. Use storms. Use storms. Oh, let me tell you something. And let me give you the last thing. And this is the last thing you do. I've given you about six of them. Here's the seventh. First, I said, don't bind the preacher. Number two, don't battle the wind. That's the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead you. Three, don't blame God. Don't bother with little things. Don't get bitter. Don't banish soul winning opportunities. Last thing is this. This is important. Don't bail out of the ship. Now I want you to imagine tonight that this church is the ship. This is the old ship of Zion here. This is your church. This is your boat. This is your lifeboat. Storms are out there. The worst thing, sir, you could ever do in your life if you get in a storm is to jump out that door and say, "I ain't going back to church." Because in that water, there's things bigger than you are that'll eat you. You can get hurt in the water. Me and my wife went on one cruise in our life. One. Probably my last. I ain't much of a cruiser. Because I ain't a good swimmer and she can't swim at all, so I couldn't save her. But we got on that boat, preacher, and the first place we went, ask her. We went, Brother Jerry, and we looked to see where them orange life rafts was. First place we went. I said, "There they are." I said, "Look, if they blow a whistle and say this thing's going down or something, I'm going to grab you by the hand and you run with me. We're going down the side of this thing and we're in one of them." I said, "This is it." I said, "We're going for the lifeboat because I'm not getting out of the boat. I know I can't swim and she can't, so you're helpless." Then I was in Mississippi preaching down in Biloxi for Steve Crane a few years ago. His daddy was there. He was on the USS Indianapolis. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's a book out about it. The Japanese torpedoed that boat in the middle of the ocean, blew a hole in it. It took water, and hundreds of sailors was in the water. Many of them died. Hundreds of them died. His dad made it through that. This is what he told me out of his own mouth. He said, "Preacher, we was in that water for days." He said, "I watched sharks eat my buddies. I watched them. You'd hear them scream and go out of sight. Shark got them." He said, "I felt sharks bump the bottom of my feet." Let me tell you something right now. Had to be enough for me right there. Hey, there's been two people in history walk on water, Peter and Jesus. There would have been a third. Hey, I'd have come up out of there, brother, like I was on a ski-doo. I'd have come up there, but that water would have been, that mess would have been parting, and I'd have been headed for the shore. Listen, Hey, so here's the thing. They couldn't help it getting in the water. Japanese blew a hole in it. They had to. But let me tell you something. What I'm not going to do, look here. The storms is going to come, but brother, the best place in the world I can get for help is in here. And let that man of God take this book right here and get up Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and encourage me. And let that choir encourage me. And let that Sunday school teacher encourage me. And let the saints encourage me. Hey, you know when Paul got stoned, Brother Penley? He got stoned down at Lystra. You know what it says? It said, and the saints stood around him. The saints stood around him. You know what he done? He got up. You know why? They surrounded him. Saints surrounded him. Hey, in here tonight, if you're in a storm, the saints are surrounding you. Don't get out. Don't bail out. Don't jump out. Bless God, jump in. Don't get out. Because out there, they don't care. Out there, there is no message. You think CNN's got something to help you through a storm? They ain't got enough sense to know they're in one. You think Fox News is going to help you through the storm? You think Dr. Phil is going to sit there on his stool and bat his eyes and then give you the answers? No. It ain't going to help nothing. What you better do is lock in to the house of God right here. And I don't care what happens, come hell or high water, get fat or die skinny, or starve or whatever. Let me tell you right now, brother, the best thing to do is stay in the house of God. And you know what will happen? You'll make the shore. Some swim. Now that boat lodged into that sand there and rocks, and the waves tore that boat in two, so the men was in the water. Some swam in. Some dog paddled. Some floated. Some got on boards. But when they started counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 271, 272, 273, 274, 275, 276. We're all here. Anybody hurt? No, sir. Everybody's well. Glory to God. What an experience we had. But you know what? God brought us through. And let me tell you tonight, you might be going through it, but let me tell you something. Just hang on. Just get in the boat and ride. Ain't nothing you can do. The wind's blowing, anything you can do. Just ride and trust God. For there stood by me this night. And you know what he said? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be here. Amen. Look at me tonight. Hey. What to do when storms come. What not to do. It's as important, what you shouldn't do. You don't want to mess with something you don't know what it is. Just say, hey, I'm just going to stay in here. And if you'll just keep coming, just all you got to do is make it through that door. Sometimes you might wonder, can I? I'm so discouraged. I'm so beat up. Man, I've had so much trials. You might have got a bad doctor's report. There might be somebody sitting here tonight. Your husband walked off and left you, or your wife left you, or you got a wayward son or daughter out there tonight about to kill you. You got problems, but let me tell you something. Hey, God's able. And He loves you and cares about you.